Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Thank you for joining me. There is certainly no shortage of stories to talk about today, as there seems to be a never-ending stream of news to talk about every day, and I think that's part of the point of what's going on today, to keep us constantly guessing about what we should be focusing on. Now, many of the things I'm going to touch on today I think are incredibly important, one of which is a story that seems to be consuming mainstream and independent alike, which is about Jeffrey Epstein, which interestingly is a story that we have been covering for years, which I'll get more into after we cover some other stories to begin, but that's definitely something that's grabbed everyone's attention, which is definitely a good thing. Epstein and the people he's connected to are some pretty disgusting, sinister people embedded in the elite culture of politics and Hollywood and many others. And it's important that he gets exposed. But we should be asking, as I said in the title, why now? Why is the mainstream media covering this now? Is it just coincidental? I doubt it. But could it potentially still do positive things in that regard? I hope so. But we'll have to dissect that as we go further. There's some updates about Ukraine. There's some more stories about Syria, Yemen, and on, stories that we talk about on a regular basis. But as always, a lot to talk about. So thank you for tuning in today. Let's get right into it. For the first story of the day, coming from... Oops, wrong one. I was going to show you my t-shirts again. Coming from antimedia.com. And this is follow-ups to the Ukraine story, which I do think is important. As much as there's a lot of manipulation going on, meaning the U.S. and NATO directly, verifiably involved in creating this conflict, this issue popping up between the Ukraine and Russia. Despite that, it's clear that this is actually an important story and a real story that they're trying to make something turn into, hoping that you're not paying attention. Now, this is entitled, Ukraine Urges NATO to Send Warships to Confront Russia, which is pretty alarming to see. Now, the real story here is about not just that Ukraine's doing this, but almost a flip-flop of the title, whereas I've already proven that NATO and the U.S. is quietly urging the Ukraine to urge NATO to do this, which is kind of interesting to see that play out. But this is an important story. Now, Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko has called on all NATO nations, all of them, and remembering that this was NATO only exists due to 9/11 and the false allegations about Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and in Afghanistan, the invasion therein that created this basically international army led by the United States, it would seem, after they initiated one of the articles in the North Atlantic Treaty to call all of them in to help them fight the perpetrators of 9/11, which we now know is a big fabrication, which James Corbett's done extensive work in showing. So now the only reason that they have the ability to call on all these NATO nations is because of that, and it's important to understand. But Ukraine is not part of NATO yet, as much as they clearly want that to happen, as well as part of the EU. That's what Ukraine's trying, or rather the false government of Ukraine that the U.S. put in place is trying to make happen. And they're calling on all NATO nations, as well as other allied states, to start relocating warships in mass, they say, to the sea, I'm assuming of Azov, to assist Ukraine in a conflict, it says, or the Black Sea, I should say. And this is a big deal. Now, as I pointed out, it's clear that NATO has already urged them to initiate this. NATO themselves have put out statements saying that they're calling on the Ukraine to basically make these calls. Now, Poroshenko singled out Germany, interestingly enough, as a nation that should rush warships to the area, saying that Germany needs to consider where Putin will strike next after taking over Ukraine, as if that's a foregone conclusion. He added that he is positive that Putin wants the whole country, which certainly could be true, and almost seems like that's something that they're hoping Putin takes because they're initiating this kind of conflict. There's only so much he can take, but he continues to show Putin himself an extreme measure of restraint, which is actually a sign of intelligence and compassion, if you understand what this means in the larger idea, especially when we see Western countries showing absolutely none. Does that mean he's an amazing person full of compassion and love and his country is a bastion of freedom and democracy? Probably not. But it shows you that at least as everything we're looking at, he is actually showing restraint in regard to to aggressive insults and aggression, which is kind of redundant. But the point being that it's interesting to see how this plays out. Now, in a related story demonstrating that restraint, coming from Zero Hedge, a very interesting story entitled, Ukraine Bans Russian Men from the Country. Of course, Russia says it will not reciprocate, continuing to show restraint in the face of such ridiculous acts. And this story is indeed ridiculous. Now, officials in Kiev have announced that Russian men will be barred from the country following the imposition of martial law this week. Now, the question remains whether or not this will continue after the 30 days of martial law that he was allowed. But nonetheless, it's a very odd thing to do. And I mean, something that would be called out in another country if this wasn't a U.S. ally. Now, the new restrictions connected to the martial law decree from earlier this week were announced following a meeting between President Petro Poroshenko and the country's top security officials and border guard chiefs in Kiev. The president said in a public statement that the policy aimed to prevent the further formation of private armies in Ukraine. A reference to pro-Russian militia groups and separatist organizations Kiev has fought since 2014. In some of these groups, they used the recent acts that they initiated as an excuse to continue bombing them. Now, a sizable amount of the Ukrainian population has relatives living just across the Russian border and vice versa. These families will be most impacted by the travel ban, especially over the holidays. Currently, direct flights between the two countries have been suspended by Kiev authorities, which, along with the Russian travel ban, will have a massive impact, given that 1.5 million Russian nationals visited Ukraine just last year alone. This is according to official statistics published by Yunnan News Agency. Now, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova reacted to the ban by assuring that Moscow has no plans to mirror the measure, as this could result in full madness. Restraint. Now, the point is, this is such an action that we're seeing here, banning entire nationalities of people, or only men, it would seem. Such an action is clearly a luxury only afforded to those protected by the U.S. empire. If this were done by an enemy, it would be heralded as racist and otherwise, or just an offense to our delicate senses of morality, it would seem. Now, I'm sure you can think of another country that has passed laws that exclude and single out specific ethnicities that also enjoy blind support from the United States. I'll let you think of that for yourself. Now, in related news in regard to foreign policy coming from South Front, something that I found to be interesting in its lack of coverage by so many, entitled Syrian Air Defense Forces Shoot Down Enemy Objects Over Damascus. Now, this got attention from some independent media, the ones you would expect that specifically cover Syrian news, but very little coverage in independent media and absolutely nothing in regard to mainstream that I have seen. There's always the occasional side article that gets put out, and I didn't see that either. But the point when I make that notion is that I make that point is that it's usually left out of the headline front page news when it's such a big deal when these kind of things happen. Now, this is late November 29th. Late in the night on November 29th, it was reported that the Syrian Arab Air Defense Forces, or SIADF, had shot down several unidentified flying objects. Interestingly, that's the acronym for UFO, but they're saying an airplane or a fighter jet that they couldn't identify as, you know, where it came from, over the district of the Al-Kiswa south of the Syrian capital, Damascus. It says, quote, initial reports say that all enemy objects were destroyed and didn't reach any of their targets. Now, local sources told South Front that the SIADF is still launching surface-to-air missiles at flying objects over Damascus and Al-Quintira, the area. Several loud explosions were also heard between the two governorates. Now, the available information indicates that the Israeli Air Force attempted to strike positions of alleged Iranian forces south of Damascus. However, the Syrian and Israeli media are yet to provide more details. Now, there's conflicting reports about this whole story. Israel denies that they shot anything or did anything, but they're complaining about Syrian missiles that are coming too close to supposedly their Golan Heights when we know that it's an illegally occupied area by Israel when it's sovereign Syrian territory, which is widely acknowledged by the vast majority of the world. Now, if confirmed, this would be the first Israeli airstrike on Syria since the downing of the Russian Ilyushin 20 intelligence plane on September 17th, which we covered at the time, and which was a very big deal that Israel, as far as I can tell, is 100% responsible for. Now, following the incident, Russia supplied Syria with the S-300 air defense systems and an advanced command and control system. Now, in an interestingly related tweet that Gevorg Almasian put out from Syrian Analysis, while this was happening, tens of Israeli missiles launched against Syrian positions in southern Damascus, Syria. Almost all hostile objects were destroyed by old air defense systems. Interesting. S-300s weren't used.
No Israeli warplanes were downed. He makes a point to say that these were missiles, not warplanes. Big failure to Israel. Now, take that for what you will. I actually greatly respect Kevorkian's Amasian's work. And as I understand it, he's got a lot of sources on the ground in Syria. So I would take this, I tend to think what he's reporting is largely true, much more so than the mainstream media. But as always, take it with a grain of salt, do your due diligence, and look into it for yourself. But it seems clear, based on the evidence we can see, that it seems that Israel launched missiles at Syria, as it has done many times before. And they shot them down without even using their S-300s, which is very interesting. Now, it would seem... Now, I mean, the independent media and the mainstream media alike are basically desensitized to these internationally illegal, unprovoked acts of aggression on Syria, largely from Israel, but from the U.S. and U.K. and their allies as well. And I find that to be frustrating, that it's such an important thing that happens, that shouldn't be happening regularly, but seems to, that is still a very big deal. It just kind of gets roundly ignored by people today. Because, oh yeah, they do it all the time. But it doesn't make it any less important. And maybe this is because that people are ignoring this because of this new story de jure that seemingly they have handed us, which I think is very important to talk about. Now, this is the one that seems to be grabbing everyone's attention. Of course, this coming from CNN of all places, Miami Herald. Labor secretary accused of giving wealthy alleged pedophile deal of a lifetime, which is 100% true. Of course, they're quoting Miami Herald. CNN didn't do anything besides just reference what they said. But it's interesting to note that this story is being handed back to us after we reported on this for years. And just looking at this story, leave it to propaganda outlets such as CNN to take what is truly just the tip of the iceberg of a story of child abuse, child trafficking, pedophilia, occultism, the real sinister underbelly of elite culture, and make it only about Trump. Just Trump and Acosta. That's what this is about. Despite the fact that even the Miami Herald story goes way deeper than that. But this is what CNN and propaganda outlets like them do. They don't report news. They take information and they say, how can we spin this to address our narrative? And so they did, which is the story you're looking at. It's pretty frustrating. But as you can tell, I'm not suggesting that this is unimportant at all. And it's great to see that it's actually getting attention from other reputable places, other than CNN, that they're not reputable in my eyes at all. But why is it that such a story only gets widespread discussion once they hand it back to us? Why do we respond to their prompts like obedient little reporters? I find that very frustrating and interesting at the same time. This happens regularly. The caravan, these stories that they give us, becomes the main focal point of many independent media individuals in general, as well as mainstream media. And it's not that we shouldn't be talking about it, but this shouldn't eclipse everything else we're talking about. Now, an actually really great video put out by We Are Change is one of the only few that I'm seeing actually ask this question like we're asking today. Why is he trending out of nowhere? Right? Why is Epstein all of a sudden a discussion point when it's been common knowledge to people in our circles for a very, very long time? We should be asking ourselves that, not dismissing the story because it's very real. We should be digging deeper, but we need to be asking ourselves why. Why now? And this video is great. They dive into a lot of interesting points about the ins and outs of the story, which we've covered as well. And the fact that someone like Epstein gets this ridiculous deal that I'll touch on more in a second, while people who were associated with this case got more time than he did. As always, showing you the egregious two-tier system of justice we have in this country, as well as likely suggesting that Epstein has dirt on probably a lot of important people. And that's why he didn't really go to jail, which is ridiculous. But this story is a big deal. And of course, as I said, CNN spinning it and mainstream spinning it about, look at how bad Trump is. But it's so, so, so much deeper than that. And I recommend you watch this video. They do a great job of throwing this information out and really diving into the ins and outs. Now, Epstein pleaded guilty at the time to a state charge of soliciting minors for prostitution, all of which you can read in the Miami Herald article, as well as all the information we've covered on T-Lab and many other independent sites that have covered this for a long time. And he was only sentenced 18 months in prison, if you can believe that. Rings true with someone like Dennis Hastert, who was called a serial child molester and only got 13, or I think it was... Maybe I think it was 14 months, only served 12. I forget how it goes, but basically got a slap on the wrist. Now, Epstein only actually served 13 months of that in a private wing of a Palm Beach jail and was granted a 16-hour per day free pass to leave the premises, which this is ridiculous to see something like this. And important to note, in 2010, Epstein actually pled the fifth when asked by a lawyer representing one of Epstein's victims about his relationship with Trump specifically. So I'm in no way trying to diminish the connection with Trump and Epstein, because that's real, but it's important to not just make it about that. This goes around both sides. Now, these young girls that we're talking of, that Miami Herald talks about, that we've covered in the past, young girls, 15, 16, even younger, were used actually to draw in other young girls, apparently as many as 70, maybe 80 underage girls. Now, the Miami Herald article notes that this was being used as to create what they call, quote, a Ponzi scheme of child sex trafficking. Now, even just the Miami Herald information is talking about child sex trafficking, yet CNN clearly makes sure that that's not the focal point of their article. Now, as I said, we covered this story years ago, and we've continued to point out Epstein's connections to both sides of the aisle, Clinton and Trump, and many, many more, as well as Epstein's sweetheart deal and his FBI connections. And I mean, here are just a few of the articles that we put out years ago. Well, these are just a few of the recent ones, I think 17 to 18. What do Kevin Spacey, Clinton, and Trump have in common? Guess what? A billionaire pedophile. These are articles that it's important to note when we're talking about this, that this is yet another example of how the mainstream media only does basically what they're allowed to do, what they're told to do by the establishment, whereas independent media, even in this specific regard, was years ahead of the curve, covering the story, talking about it, putting it out there a long time. Here's the specific story they're even talking about. Trump's labor secretary nominee Alexander Acosta helped infamous pedophile Jeffrey Epstein avoid federal charges. Complicit. And this goes well above Acosta. I mean, clearly the Miami Herald has a reason that they did this, understanding Acosta's political connections to Miami, his previous past political connections in Miami. But just realize how long this has been going on. Judge protects billionaire pedophile, won't allow damning evidence in child rape trial. As this develops, we find out after that, of course, new FBI files show feds gave billionaire pedophile Epstein freedom in exchange for information to go after other people. This is what we're dealing with here. And as we continue to point out, it is this two-tier system that we continue to deal with. Now, the story is still certainly newsworthy, even as what they're reporting it as. But as I pointed out, it's the tip of the iceberg of some much more sinister aspects. And I commend, actually, the years of work, as I understand it, years of work by the Miami Herald. But this now revitalized story that as of yet has an undetermined outcome, which is important, just like we're talking about the Clinton subpoena and the Comey subpoenas, undetermined outcomes. We don't know if they're actually even going to be held accountable. We have this penchant for jumping on a story and saying, hooray, it's a success, before we actually see these people get held accountable. As we saw Epstein and Hassert, like we're talking about, get basically nothing as they continue to do all the things they're doing. As he continues to fly the Lolita Express to his disgusting orgy island and do all kinds of disgusting proclivities with elite social society. And that is what's continuing. But the important point is we should not be covering just this story as it stands now, as they're reporting it, at the expense of all else. There's so many important things going on. And sadly, my gut tells me that this will result in more obvious examples of our two-tier justice system that we have in this country, wherein Epstein is let off for nothing due to his connections, just like the last time. I certainly hope that's not the case. And, you know, and this whole song and dance will have basically served only to draw us in yet again, and in the process distracting us from many other important and devious actions of those in power. If you want to know more about Epstein, you can check out the links we have in the notes in the show notes before and in the show notes below. There's a lot of information going on there that goes well beyond what you're seeing in the mainstream media, and a lot of independent media are continuing to reiterate that. But it seems that we're getting distracted yet again by a story that they're handing us. Now, when I discuss devious actions of those in power, that dive into the real depths of what this story, even Epstein, are about. Here's one coming from Sputnik that just came out. Oops, excuse me. Going too far here. entitled Greek Ex-Foreign Minister. Some diplomats issued visas to minors, covered up organ trafficking. Now, these are the kind of stories that the mainstream media don't want to be talking about. They don't want us to be talking about. And this is what I mentioned about the tip of the iceberg. This is the kind of stuff that gets covered by people like Epstein, the kind of stuff that gets allowed and facilitated by their child trafficking and their Virgin Island activities. And this story is disgusting and goes deep into not just the United States, but elite culture when it comes to politics in the world politics. This story is quite amazing, and I doubt you'll see this on CNN. Now, in October, Nikos Kazayas, I believe you say his name, he's a former foreign minister. He disclosed that some of the Greek diplomats were involved in a scheme to traffic in children organs, calling those who were involved traitors. Now, understand that this goes, as I see it, well beyond just trafficking organs. As much as that's probably a huge factor, it's very profitable. And we know there's a massive black market organ trade going on in the world, again, that our media fails to actually touch on ever. And how this is involved with war zones and the trafficking of children from places that are created by U.S. foreign policy, as well as the idea of trafficking in their blood, which has been very clearly shown to be used in science, with elite culture today. The idea of actually using blood transfusion, this is an open secret today. They talk about it. They actually say in their own reports that can actually reverse aging. You really think there's not a black market for that? And this is what we're talking about. Now, during an interview on November 20th, Kazayas said that the probe into the organ trafficking offense continues and that diplomats, understand the point, diplomats, diplomatic immunity. Same reason that those Saudis were allowed to walk out with bags after murdering Khashoggi. Diplomatic immunity. They said the offense continues and that the diplomats who issued visas for minors earlier are already in jail. So these people are already arrested in jail for what they were trying to do. But he points out that it goes much bigger than these people. Kazayas noted that for now, there are 93 cases involving foreign ministry officials issuing visas to unaccompanied minors. Now, you could make an argument that some of those may be innocuous. There may be justifications behind it that we don't see here. But the reality is there's more often than not in regard to such an odd case, there's nefarious purposes behind it. Now, in October, after leaving the cabinet, Kazayas appeared at an event hosted by the Greek political movement, Prato, where for the first time he mentioned the case of a 14-month-old baby who was issued a visa without parental consent. He alleged that that fact was covered up by Greek diplomats and that the press hadn't written about it. Go figure. Now, later speaking publicly during an event, on the island of Crete on October 22nd, he provided some of the details. He said, quote, "We sent 93 cases to the prosecutor. Highly respected ambassadors went to jail, but the press did not write about them." Think about what he's saying there. 93 cases and highly respected ambassadors went to jail for trafficking children's organs, and the press didn't talk about it. God, if we didn't need any more evidence, it amazes me. Now, he goes on to say, because the person who gives a visa in Constantinople, in Istanbul, to an unaccompanied child is not just a criminal, he is a traitor, he says. A visa for a 14-month-old unaccompanied baby, and they tried to cover it up for him. Now, in April 2018, Kathimerini, I believe it's how it's pronounced, a Greek newspaper, issued a report according to which there are thousands of unaccompanied children in Greece who were illegally brought to the country and national authorities have ignored it completely. According to the report, there are 3,050 unaccompanied children migrants, almost half of whom live in unknown places or have no place to live at all. In 2016, the EU's Criminal Intelligence Agency reported that there are at least 10,000 unaccompanied children refugees who have just disappeared after coming to Europe. Just disappeared. I wonder where. Brian Donald, chief of staff at Europol, highlighted that 5,000 children had disappeared in Italy alone. Thus, the number of missing children exceeds 10,000. Now, we've talked about this many, many times. We covered this in regard to the Syrian war and just what's going on in the Middle East in general, that people are screaming about there are thousands of missing children and no one's talking about it. This happens every time there's a war zone such as this, and I argue that that's part, if not largely, the reason that these things are created. There is a massively profitable black market trade for both children and for their organs. And people don't like to hear this stuff. People like to ignore the reality of this. But it is very, very real. As John Whitehead wrote about, it's America's dirty little secret. Even in this country, a massive, massive trade of young girls is verifiable. And we turn a blind eye. Let's talk about how Trump's a bad guy because he worked with Acosta. And they skim over all of the real details. The same way they did with the NXIVM thing and all of these stories. They make sure to give it a limited hangout coverage so we don't realize how deep it actually goes. Now, this actually brings to mind the story of Laura Silsby, who actually later changed her name to Laura Gaylor to hide the fact that she got caught trafficking children from Haiti. And guess what? Guess who got her off? Hillary Clinton. Now, this is a much deeper story. You can read for yourself. It's in the show notes. As the article even says, the true origin of Pizzagate, which it is. The reality of this kind of story is what people obfuscate by only talking about emails, which are very important. The Podesta emails are wildly important, but in and of themselves are not enough. And stories like this, proof of child trafficking where Clinton covers it up for Silsby while she's caught and charged with child trafficking for trying to take children across the border. This is what happens. This is what we're talking about. This is the kind of thing that's connected to the kind of stuff that happens on his Lolita Express airplane and the Virgin Island called Orgy Island, where they do these kind of things and facilitate these kind of disgusting elite proclivities. Does that mean that everybody in elite circles are like this? No. Some would say so. I would argue that it can't be all of anything, but likely you get to these positions by allowing or at least overlooking these kind of things. This is real stuff today, people. Now, we haven't talked about this recently on this channel, but we've done a lot of coverage in regard to elite pedophilia, the circle, pedophilia in positions of power, political, Hollywood, very real. And lately, there's been a lot of aggressive efforts to divert our attention to substantiated claims, things that may be true, but we can't prove when we have things like this smacking us in the face. Obvious examples. There was even an NBC report about how he covered up child trafficking and pedophilia at the State Department while Hillary was there that immediately got dismissed. Think about this stuff, people. This is what we're talking about. Now, again, I circle back and ask ourselves, why now? Why are they now talking about Epstein? There's clearly a reason for it. Trust me, they don't just fall into these stories and decide to cover them. They are 100% controlled. There's a reason for it. Now, do I know that answer? I don't. I could guess, but I argue, as always, that it will pan out in a way that we don't want and be used to pull our attention away from much bigger things. Maybe even this story about child trafficking and organ harvesting from a Greek official. Maybe this is the entire point. Maybe this is what they're trying to take our attention away from. But there's so many stories like this that are flying around. So many things like this, and we need to begin paying attention and stop letting the mainstream media dictate our coverage. It's incredibly important. Now, speaking of stories that continue to get overlooked and overshadowed by whatever the establishment oligarchs decide to set in front of us to bait us with, it would seem that the Saudis are now taking a page from the Book of Israel and attacking unarmed protesters. How interesting is that? This entitled Saudi's bloody last peaceful region in Yemen with deadly attack on peaceful Al-Manhara protesters. Apologize for mispronunciations for some of these things. They tend to be hard to pronounce. But the reality of creating war in the last peaceful location, and not only that, murdering unarmed protesters because they were there. Literally a book out of Israel's playbook. Now, Saudi Arabia has killed three peaceful demonstrators protesting the kingdom's takeover, guess what, of local natural resources, because they're trying to starve them to death, in Yemen's eastern province of Al-Mara, bringing its bloody war to Yemen's basically last relatively peaceful region. Excuse me. These three protesters were killed on November 14th. When a Saudi armored vehicle raided a peaceful sit-in and fired live ammunition into crowds of demonstrators in the Tunnel District of Yemen's eastern Al-Mara province. Now, this is a story. They're constantly objecting of, oh my, look at how, you know, evil Assad is murdering his own citizens. And I don't need to continue to show you guys that are regulars of this show the absurd nature of their two-tiered coverage, where they only cover it when it's somebody they can use for geopolitical reasons and they can talk about the enemies. But when their allies do it, they completely ignore it. Now, when I say they, I mean the government as well as their media lapdogs that refuse to talk about this stuff. I mean, these are glaring examples of their absurd hypocrisy and one-sidedness when it comes to their coverage. Now, to the next story, speaking of Israel, I found this one to be incredibly important. This one coming from Middle East Monitor, entitled Trump Says U.S. Troops Will Stay in Middle East to Protect Israel? What an interesting thing to say. There's so many things to talk about in regard to this, but at the very least, it exposes the real nature of this disgusting association between one of the worst human rights violators in the world and the United States oligarchy. Now, U.S. President Donald Trump has admitted that U.S. only keeps its troops in the Middle East to apparently to protect Israel. In an interview with the Washington Post, Trump explained that he would not withdraw U.S. support from the region because of the need to support Israel. That's pretty damn clear. As many people, such as Hussein al-Bukhadi, will say, they love that President Donald Trump's the president because he exposes the real face of the U.S. oligarchy for reasons just like this. Where he'll say, look, we're only doing this for Israel. And everyone goes, I knew it. He was saying this forever. But this is an important step that we see this kind of thing. Now, this despite the fact that other U.S. concerns, such as oil, he claims were no longer sufficient reasons to remain. Now, I've seen many suggest in recent days that there's no reason to maintain the U.S. alliance with the Saudis now due to this oil independence, which is a very good point. Yet, of course, people like Pompeo quashed that with the outrageously and demonstrably false, mind you, claim that the U.S.-Saudi relationship actually maintains peace and stability in the Middle East. Literally, he said this. Now, this is one of those things that we all just chuckle at, but people actually listen to what he has to say, if you can believe that. And believe him, these sociopaths and their ability to just disregard the obvious truth and put out what they want people to think. But the point is that the people are saying that there's no reason that we should have this association with the worst of the world today, especially in regard to Saudi Arabia, when we don't even have the oil dependence we once did on them. Interesting point. Now, it shows you that there's more to the story than that. And Israel, I argue, is the crux of all of it. Now, in addition to suggest that the U.S. must remain in the Middle East to protect Israel is a claim that Israel itself, I think, would balk at. We don't need the protection of the United States, but in actuality, the U.S. remains to continue doing the bidding of Israel, not as its protector. And that, I think, is the real story there. But Trump's happy to admit it, to show a very clear Israel first policy that he's initiated since he was elected. Now, in the next story coming from Anti-War, and I believe the last story of the day we're going to touch on that I think is important. Talking about Israel, talking about Saudi Arabia, U.S. foreign policy has all centered around Iran. All of it. Which I would argue has also been one of the real reasons behind it from the very beginning. As we've demonstrably seen for decades in their own documentation. This entitled, State Department, Military Option Remains on the Table Against Iran. Oh, outright saying that we're open to just militarily bomb a country because they don't do what we say. Pretty damning and quite alarming, if you ask me. Now, in the course of reiterating allegations, of course, that Iran is sending small arms and drones to its allies abroad, of course, something that is not only lacking in evidence, at least to the extent that they suggest, but also something that the U.S. and its allies are demonstrably doing themselves, the U.S. State Department also issued a threat to just outright attack Iran. They warned the U.S., quote, will not hesitate to use military force. Yeah, we know that, U.S. oligarchy, you've made that clear. And they also say that the option remains open for Iran. The U.S. has been threatening to attack Iran for decades now. The threats had kind of calmed down in recent years with the initiation of the nuclear deal, the P5-1, the JCPOA agreement. But with the deal subsequently dishonored by the Trump administration, it seems that the old status quo of constantly sanctioning and threatening Iran is returning, which has kind of been the point all along. Now, the allegations about drones and arms center around Pentagon provided, interesting, Pentagon provided images of wreckage which they say contain the logos of Iranian arm makers. That's an interesting point. Even if true, and I argue it might, it could well not be, based on the fact of where it's coming from and their lies in the past. But even if that's true, think about the idea of what they're saying. That we're saying just because anything comes from Iran, in general, as if everything in Iran is completely or tied to the government. That if a group makes drones in Iran, it's because of the government. It's the same nonsense they say about Russia. That, oh, look, this has Russian coding in it, that Putin's responsible. Could be. It could be, but that's not proof. It's evidence that suggests there's a tie. But see, this is the nonsense they put forward, that just because they see logos from Iran, it means the government did it. And that's something you should look into. It seems like it may even be likely. But this is the idea they put forward, that just because, that's the joke you hear from someone that made, oh, they talk about, they put Russian dressing on his salad. I think it was Kirby who said this, I forget his name. That if, you know, Trump puts Russian dressing on a salad, then CNN will go off. And it's kind of, I get the joke, because this is the kind of thing they're saying, that just because anything is associated in any way to these countries, they immediately assume, without evidence, that it's because of the government. And that's a fallacy. Could be true, but definitely may not be. Now, the arms shipments are said to center on Yemen, of course, in keeping with Saudi allegations. Gotta make sure that Iran is focused, Iran's in Yemen, even though that's demonstrably false. Now, Iran has denied such claims in the past, and continues to, and views these occasional State Department presentations as being done primarily as a political stunt to allow the administration to keep threatening Iran for Israel, in my opinion. It just, all of this stuff today shows you that with what's going on, the escalations of war with Russia, with Iran, with even the ideas of chemical attacks in Syria that as of yet have even been yet to be acknowledged by the Trump administration, that this Epstein story is important, but clearly being used. So bear that in mind as we move forward, as they continue to dangle things in front of us in hopes that we grab them and talk about them. Look at the mainstream media. They're finally doing their, they want us doing that. Now talk about it. It is important, but let's not forego all of the other things that are clearly, clearly, profoundly important to what's really going on today. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you spread this information, get it out there far and wide. Our episode from yesterday that was clearly suppressed right off the bat is obviously being suppressed for whatever reason, so I recommend you check that out for yourself. Getting a dramatically lower view count as many others as it gets shut down right when we started broadcasting yesterday. So I recommend you check out yesterday's video as well as spread this one around. And please think for yourself. Ask questions, even about independent media, even about me. Don't just blindly follow what anybody has to say. Keep an open mind. Look at all the things going on today and ask yourself always, why would this be happening this way? What may they be trying to distract me from? That is always a smart question to ask yourself. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.